Hey, everyone. This is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti, Remy Motti, and Pastor Kyle Horner. Our guest this week is former NFL running back and Dancing with the Stars champion, Rashad Jennings. We're going to hear from Rashad coming up. I had a fun conversation with Rashad at the Super Bowl. He was there along with Chef Aaliyah Lee Kong, and we talked about some nutrition, too. We it was fun. It was entertaining.
You guys made me hungry. When am I not? Oh, my gosh.
No.
Well, that's kind of true.
Well, I mean, we're always hungry. When you don't eat a lot, you're always hungry. I know I'm constantly hungry at night, but we're going to hear from Rashad coming up. Rashad issued sort of a challenge of sorts kind of for our listeners at the end of the interview. And it's one that I really liked because he said, before you go to sleep, and you're going to hear this coming up. He said, before you go to sleep, put something valuable that you need the next day under your bed. Right. So every morning before you leave your bedroom, you are forced to get on your knees to grab whatever was under the bed.
Right.
And then while you're down there on your knees, say a prayer. And he said it changes the trajectory of his entire day.
That's brilliant.
We've talked about the importance of prayer on episodes before. I think last year when Brian Dawkins was on, and he talked about how he starts his day in prayer every day. And that is so easy for us to say, right? It's easy to want to do this. It's easy. Like, hey, that's a great goal I want to accomplish. I want to wake up every day. I want to pray every day. I want to start my day off in prayer. I want to finish my day off in prayer. I want to pray in the middle of the day. But it takes discipline.
Yeah.
It takes so much discipline because we're distracted at human being. We're human beings, so we're always going to be distracted. Like, for example, this morning, I'm looking at my phone. I put it down. I do my prayers. Then I'm not even finished, and I get up. Because one of the kids said something, so they're about to come in, and I'm like, there you go.
Now,
get up earlier, right? Yeah. Get up earlier, discipline, structure, all of that stuff. So there are, you can look through the Bible and countless verses on prayer.
Yeah.
Right.
From the Old Testament to what Jesus talks about in the New Testament. So I'm going to bring up a few of them that I just want to have a conversation about. And I apologize for not alerting you guys to all of these, but I know you guys can roll with it. James 5:13.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in James 5:13, he writes, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. So sometimes we turn to prayer only when we want something, right?
Yeah.
We turn when we need help, when we cry out to God because we're down, we're out, we're sick, we're hurt, we're broken.
Yeah.
And in those times, you know, we definitely should be, because reaching out to God, he promised he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us.
Right.
But it's also saying in here, I believe it's as important, and it certainly is, it's as important to pray when we're happy. When everything is going good, when, you know, as James says, sing songs of praise and thank God for all the blessings that we have, especially, like, I'm always trying to point out, especially when we pray in front of the kids, like, not to take anything for granted. So be thankful for all the little things.
Yeah.
So they come to appreciate, like, all these little things that we have, you know, and then last night, Alexia's praying, and we're trying to get through. I'm like, I want you to go to sleep, honey. And she's like, she's praying for her nose, so it's too stuffy, right? But then her throat, she doesn't want it to hurt. And then her ear, and I said, sweetheart, you could just say everything.
But you were teaching her details.
And then, so she was breaking it down, like, one by one, and all of that stuff, but that's okay. I mean, that's okay. But what this verse is saying, like, is anyone out among you in trouble? Let them pray. Right. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. it's easier, I think, at times. Like, we turn to God when you need something.
Oh, yeah.
How about turning to God when we are grateful, we are thankful, we are blessed? So that's kind of like the first one that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I think, you know, we talk about Christianity being a relationship. I don't only talk to my wife when I need her to do something for me, right?
Can you imagine?
Or just when I'm happy.
As Remy said, get me a cup of coffee just 2 minutes ago.
And water.
It's true. It's like, yeah. And he brought back water instead of coffee. That was great.
I'm like, where's my coffee?
I think, Robert, we have to look at our relationship with God, with Jesus, with the Father and the Holy Spirit from this standpoint of, I'm building a relationship with him. How do I talk to him on a regular basis? It just, you know, we live in this world where we're constantly communicating, right? We're constantly communicating on so many different levels at so many different times. And one of the greatest strengths of, I think, this younger generation is that they can multitask conversations at multiple levels.
Yeah.
As long as God's one of those conversations, I think sometimes we just put it aside like we do. All right. Just get up. And I love what he said this morning about putting something valuable under the bed. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It is.
Right? It's a
great
thing.
What's under your bed? Right?
It's so good.
Slippers.
But it's not just about setting a time aside. It's about setting your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Purposed attention.
Right.
Yeah.
So different. Right? It's so different.
Right.
Because, like, if you haven't heard from your best friend or your spouse for a couple hours during your workday, you're like, what the heck?
We're texting
all the time.
Yep.
And yet we go hours without even thinking about God. So I think it's that. I think it's even not just, it starts with a discipline. So I agree with you. And all habits start out of a discipline.
Yeah.
Right.
But if we just do it from a discipline standpoint, we're going to miss the heartbeat of it. And the heartbeat of it is, why is he not part of my attention?
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know what, too? Prayer to me is a weapon.
Agreed with that, 100%.
One of the best verses that I really love is Matthew 26:41. Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body's weak.
Yep.
So this is saying that this is your weapon against temptation.
Wow.
So, but you're not going to wait till you're tempted
Correct.
To pray.
Correct.
So you have to use the weapon of prayer before you even get tempted. So in a sense, it's actually preventing you from being tempted.
So, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Prepares you for it. Yes.
Temptation. Yep. So it's kind of like you have this weapon, you have this shield, which is prayer, and it's always in your mind, and it's always around you, and it's always in your brain. It's kind of cycling over and over.
Yes.
And prayer to me is not, like, I mean, I love the idea of kneeling and all that, but my knees hurt. So, you know what I mean? So I kind of like to sit up in my bed and pray. That's just me.
Everybody has to find out what's going on.
I absolutely love that, what he's saying. But I love sitting in my bed and praying. But also, I don't restrain myself to just that. I just say, I'm praying all day long because I have a dialogue in my head.
That's the thing.
That's
Yeah.
Pray without
so
ceasing.
Important.
Sometimes my kids will be like, did you say something? I'm like, I'm talking to myself. I'm having a conversation with God.
Yes, yes.
This is me because I don't necessarily call it praying all day long. I'm just having a conversation with my best friend. Like, I'm always talking. Do I look crazy? Absolutely. But that's my weapon. That's what I use every day, all day.
Yeah, Remy, I'm going to put it a little bit in regular daily terms for people. Like, when what you were talking about is so powerful, because we have this, we can continue to talk with God just like we send texts out. So as we're walking, we're walking around our day, we're sending texts out. We're not thinking about, oh my gosh, who's around me?
Right.
No, I'm texting out. I'm texting people.
Yeah, I don't care.
Right. I don't care.
Yeah.
And it's that. But then I also have pillow time.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
I have pillow
absolutely.
Talk with my spouse.
Yeah.
And that's when we are spending, Rob, those kind of moments where we're going to our secret place, when we're actually having deeper conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think somehow in church life over the decades, we have confused prayer as just that. Like, okay, you need to cut time out to just have, you know, that kind of structured approach. And I think
that's what religion teaches you, though, right?
I think there's strength to it, right? So, we have to look at it. Jesus says in Matthew 6, go to your secret place and talk with God, right?
Oh, I love
but
that. Yeah.
Ephesians 6:18 says, as part of the armor of God, pray in the Spirit occasions, right?
All
the time. Without ceasing. So that's what we're talking about, this collision point where I'm constantly texting God, right? During my day.
Right.
And it may not be the deep, serious things that we have
exactly.
to.
Yeah.
Right.
That's at nighttime, because sometimes prayer you cannot do in front of people. Okay?
Correct. No,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
I get in my bedroom and be like, all right, let's fight. Let's go.
There's there are conversations that you and Rob have to have.
Right.
That Danielle and I have. Like, so I know, and you know, you guys know, we may be out with people having a conversation and we may be talking about some stuff and she gives me the look like, oh no, we're going to talk about that later. Not, and not even always in a negative way. Like, hey, let me, you know, we're going to have, we need to have a conversation about that later. Yeah. We don't have that conversation in front of everybody because there's a deeper place for that. And I think when we can think about prayer like that, we already, this is why I'm saying it. We already do this in our natural life.
Right.
Like I'm not asking us to do anything different than what we already are trained to do.
Right.
I'm just saying, can we maybe do it with God?
Yeah.
As part of that relationship.
And you know what? There is no formula. Honestly, there is no formula. Whatever works for you, whatever, like if your time schedule is different than everybody else in your household, do whatever you can do to just like fit in a couple minutes. Like he's not asking for a lot, but he's asking for your devotion. He's not asking for your attention as much as your devotion to it. So I can actually say to myself, I'm going to sit here for 5 minutes and pray, but my brain is somewhere else.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that is not what he wants. He wants absolute devotion to the moment. So you can get in your knee, get on your knees and pray, or you can just in the kitchen while you're cooking, which I do a lot, just pray while I'm cooking and the kids are asking me what is wrong with you. And
practice
I'm like,
your presence.
It's all good. You know, I'm just doing my thing.
I used to get Right, you're so funny. I used to get in trouble, like with Jake when he was younger, because you know sometimes I just forget. You know, I used to drive he and his friends around, like you know, as all parents do, right? You're just driving kids to wherever they're going, games or school or whatever. And I would be so, and I'd start praying in tongues and out loud in the car. And Jake's like, "Dad, like," but I wasn't. I wasn't thinking about it. I was just kind of doing what we do. And then, you know, now we still joke about it, but there'll be times he and I are driving in the car and he'll bust out, you know, like just totally.
Yeah.
So I just think it's one of those things where if you practice the presence of God all the time and invite him into, we're already relational creatures.
Yes.
Just invite him into that relationship.
There's there's a couple verses I want to bring up because prayer and someone brought it up to me, a friend who is just really starting to learn what being a Christian's about.
Yeah.
And he just pulled me aside one day and was like, hey, you know, how do I pray? How do I pray? And I said to him, you know, and both of us come from the same background of religion.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, everything that we grew up in, you know, repeating the same thing over and over again, it's not personal.
Yeah.
So I just want to talk about this verse, Matthew 6:7, where Jesus says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the pagans do, or depending on the translation, as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. So from a personal standpoint, and you guys know, and I'm sure anyone who's listening to the show now who's heard it before has heard me talk about my spiritual development and my growth, and I've mentioned how growing up, going to church or mass as we called it, I'd repeat the same prayers over and over and over again. I didn't have a relationship. I had religion. So once I developed that relationship with Christ and I connected directly with him, my prayers became more intimate, more personal, and they became more direct and they became more conversational to where rather than they're scripted, rigid and read and repeated over and over again. It became a connection to where, as you guys were both saying, I get to reach out to him and interconnect with him all day long, every day, no matter what it is. But I don't want people to think like it's, you know, we shouldn't say or pray for the same things repeatedly, because Jesus did encourage us in persistent prayer, to be persistent. But now, though, my persistent prayer, because every day I'm going to pray for watch over my family, protect us, put walls of fire around us, lead us, guide us. These are the same things, but these prayers now aren't coming from reading a script. These prayers are coming from sincerity, from my heart, from not being, from being genuine and rather than being shallow. So when you look at that verse, I think sometimes people get scared off by it and they go, well, what does that mean? So, you know, I just wanted to get, you know, a pastor's perspective, Kyle. You know, it's like repeating the words over and over again. Well, it's okay, but I think it's more about the sincerity of the heart, the genuine, not being shallow and just reading.
I think it's down to what are we depending on to be the answer, the reason for the answer. Mm-hmm. Is it the amount of times that I've done it that becomes therefore God I deserve for it to be done for me?
Yeah.
Or is it really just the connection to say, God, I'm gonna keep putting things in front of you, trusting you to be able to do it?
Yeah.
I think what we need to be careful of on either side is, throwing the baby out with the bathwater on any side of this, right? Because people who love structured prayer will be like, hey, people who just pray off their, on their own, it's, you know, it's a bit of babbling and all. I think when we talked about leaving the elementary things behind, but what we have to recognize is we start with elementary things.
Yes, right. They're the basics.
So, right, correct.
Prayer is the basics.
So, you know, when you raise up your children, structure really helps. Right? And then the more that they grow, the less structured their environment needs to be, because they can actually engage at a different level. So I think when Jesus teaches us how to pray in Matthew 6, right after that, right, he's talking about the Lord's Prayer, which is so beautiful. He's giving us structure as children to learn how to do this. I know, like, I learned so many basics in children. Like, children's worship songs are very different than adult worship songs, right? Worship, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, right? You know, why? Well, because we're putting a structure around them.
Yeah.
But structure without organic growth
is
driftwood. Driftwood has structure, but it has no organic growth inside of it, right? We need both structure as well as organic growth.
That's great.
So I think that there's nothing. I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to structured prayer, because I think at some level, sometimes
we can't scare people off of that. And I think sometimes, like, I when I first read this, I was a little scared off. I was like, wait a minute, what's he saying here?
Well, he's saying because they think they deserve for it to be answered by the more that you repeat the prayer. The power is in repeating of the prayer. So that's when we've talked about the formula of faith. Right. When people say, well, I have a formula that's always going to work, and this is what it is if you just follow this formula. So that's what Jesus is talking about there. He's not talking about just having structured prayer. He's talking about what are you depending on for that to happen.
You know, there is also, I mean, I think maybe this is confusing, but this is what I do personally. I think there is prayers and then there's declarations. I'm one of those people that I like to write stuff down. So I do write declarations down.
Agreed. I totally agree.
And it is okay to look at them every day and say, these are the things that God said about
there's no
life.
Right or wrong. Prayer is pray, you know,
declaring these things that God said over my life actually reminds me of what he says about me 100%. And what I can't achieve in life. So reading declarations over you and your children, your husband, that's okay.
Agreed.
But saying that this is all I'm gonna do is not okay.
Right.
Then where is my relationship?
Stop short.
So I'm not going to stop short there. I declare things over me. I love that. And I see a lot of declarations in the Bible that, you know, this and this and that and open heaven and
invade,
you know what I
mean?
Because it's visitations and everything. And I love that. That's amazing declarations. But where is your relationship come from? Is from your prayers through that. Like you've declared things over your life and then let's talk about them with God. And that's
prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. Yeah, make your requests known to God. Yeah. So you're right, Remy. First of all, declarations have power because it's his promises. Right? I mean, it's just God, you know, Isaiah 55 says, I send out my word. It will not come back void. Right. It will do the work that I've called it to do. And everywhere it goes, it'll prosper. Yeah. So I 100% agree that we need to be declaring the word of God over.
Absolutely.
Don't back down from that. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Right? But you're exactly right.
Yeah.
That's more about me speaking to my soul. You know, David says, bless the Lord on my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He's speaking to his soul. He's speaking to the thing inside of him. Hey, get up. I know you're tired. I know sometimes you don't want to bless God, but bless the Lord, oh my soul. And I think that's what declarations do. Declarations speak to the selfish part of us, the broken part of us.
Hidden things.
Correct.
That are
and it
not,
forces the, you know, the word of God brings life, right? The word of God is healing. The word of God is a light into the darkness.
Right.
So it actually brings health into your body. That's the word says it brings health into your body, life into your bones. So I think that what you're saying is right. That's me speaking God's word into me.
Yeah.
But then it's me, prayer is me speaking
back to
God.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
I have another verse, one final one that I want to bring up, and this is a Remy favorite. And I think this is one that we often take out of context and misinterpret. And it's in multiple gospel. So it's where Jesus says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours.
Amen.
Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And we can make this about us, right? We can, hey, I want this, this, and this. And we have selfish desires. So I don't take this, what Jesus is saying here, to mean that I can just go now and pray for anything. Lord, give me $1 million right now. You know,
amen.
And amen.
I'm believing I'm receiving that right now.
I'm receiving it. It will be mine. Now, that may be a selfish desire, or it could be anything that could be a selfish desire. I believe that God doesn't answer prayers that serve only our interests, but the prayer requests that we focus on his interests, that's where he's looking to grant those requests. Because if we make it about me, what I want. So when you read that with just elementary knowledge, you go, well, Jesus said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. So I want a Lamborghini and I want a Ferrari and I want a mansion on the beach and I want $15 million and I want this, this, that, and the other. Well, these are all selfish things. It doesn't mean you're not ever going to achieve that, but that's not God's, how's that serving God's interests? So how do you understand? How do you guys understand? I know this is one of your favorites.
Go ahead, bro.
Think it's just, it's not really about materialistic things for me. At least it used to be before I came closer to God.
Okay.
But now what I see it as, it just enlarging my vision of who God is to me. Because if I contain him in this little box that says, like, this is all I know about you. This is all about myself. And I'm just going to be contained in this little box. Then I actually missed the whole point. He's just saying that whatever you believe in your heart about me, that's what's going to come true. So I am not going to limit God. And it's not about money. I'm just not going to limit him. I'm not going to limit him in prayers. I'm not going to limit him over my health. I'm not going to limit him over my family. I am going to receive these things because he is everything.
Yeah.
He is everything that could ever exist. He already made it. He already created it. Everything is already there. Now, what's for me is for me. And I get that. Mm-hmm. And now we're not going to all have the same talents and portions. I get that. But I'm not going to limit my beliefs in what God has for me. What I'm going to do is going to work hard to do what I have to do to achieve my whatever I need to achieve. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit there and say, it has to be $1 million. It has to be a Lamborghini. It has to be this. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, God, you're limitless. And I'm taking the limits off of you and me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to work hard on what I have to do.
Yes.
But I'm going to do it under your will and under whatever you have for me. And whatever you have for me is perfect.
So good.
But I just want to, I want the best for my family. I want the best for me and I want the best from you. And that's all that is to me.
That's how
like,
you look
that's
at
how
it.
I look well, at that's, it.
I like how you said you've changed your perception
of that. Oh gosh, 100%. Yeah.
But that's actually lines up with the word of God, Remy, because what you're saying is, Daddy, I'm going to believe that you are a prosperous God. I'm going to believe that you're a loving God. Mm-hmm. I believe that you know how to love me the best.
Exactly.
Right? So your daughters don't have any worries because they know they love you, that they can come and ask you for anything.
Right.
They also, you're teaching them as they grow that sometimes that answer, because you love them, is no. Or not yet.
They don't, right? They don't like that.
None of us do, right? We none still of us don't. Like that. But they know that they can ask anything and that you love them. Yeah. And I think if we grab a hold of that, because that's what Jesus talks about when he's given the Lord's Prayer, it's all under the auspice of, Daddy, your kingdom come, your will be done. This is who you are. This is what you've promised. I'm not going to ask you for anything more than what you've already said I am, right? Mm-hmm. And that you said that you can bring into my life. So the Bible says I can pray for health. Why? Because by his stripes we are healed. He is the healer. Yeah. He doesn't just heal. He is healing itself.
Yes.
I can ask for peace in my life. Why? Yeah. Because he is the Prince of Peace, right? So there's nothing wrong with being able to say, God, you've said all these things, and I'm going to pray these things over my life, but thy will be done. But thy will be done. And that's the surrender of ourself. It's also the recognition, just a little bit, that I always want to bring back for perspective for people, is that this earthly moment is so temporary. So, yes. Like, when we, like, his promises are already yes and amen in Jesus. Yeah. They're already done. Yeah. So I'm already healed.
Yeah.
Right? And no matter what I'm struggling with, I'm already healed. Yes. I may not see that healing on this side of the veil.
Right.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But for eternity, like, which is so much longer than what this moment is, that will be the reality of my life. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean, guys, that I'm not going to believe for healing on this side of the veil,
quit
right?
Praying about
or keep praying for it because, but I am sure that my daddy has the best in store for me. So it's easy for me to be able to pray those scriptures.
Right.
Yeah.
Ask. Yes. Without ceasing, right? Mm-hmm. But James does say, make sure you're asking not with wrong motives, because right? That's James 4:3, don't be asking for wrong motives.
Right.
But he loves me enough that his will can be done, and it's for my good.
I love that. So we've addressed so many different verses, different forms of prayer. I just hope anyone listening, if you have questions like my friend did, hey, how do I pray? It's, you know, whatever comes to your heart. Whatever comes to your mind, just have that conversation. Just reach out. Like, you know, I say it all the time. I'm like, JC's my best friend.
Yeah.
You know, I call him JC. So, you know, we all got.
If you can talk, you can pray. Right? If you can talk, you can pray.
That's beautiful. Yep. Up next, we're going to hear from Rashad Jennings. You're listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Remy Motti, and Pastor Kyle. Rashad Jennings played 8 seasons in the NFL with the Jaguars, Raiders, and Giants. His last 4 years, one with Oakland in 2013 and 3 with New York 2014 through 16, were the best seasons of his career. After finishing up, he competed on season 24 of Dancing with the Stars in 2017 and became the 4th NFL player to win that competition. I spoke with Rashad at the Super Bowl. Here is that interview. Welcome to the show, Rashad Jennings, a longtime NFL player, running back. You played for Jacksonville, the Giants. You were in Oakland. You did not get to a Super Bowl, but here you are amid all this excitement, this hoopla, checking out Radio Row, doing interviews. What is this atmosphere like, and is it crazier than you would have imagined 10, 15 years ago?
The atmosphere is amazing. I said this before, it's really like a family reunion. Mm-hmm. Especially all the fellas get together, you know, you got the young guys out here mixed with some of the old vets that are, you know, Hall of Famers wearing gold jackets out here. So it's funny, then you got the middleman, right? I feel like I'm part of the middle group where I'm between the old vet Hall of Famers and the young guys. Yeah. And it's funny to watch them banter back and forth if they still, who was better, who did, you know, who's faster. Hey, boy, if I was in your age, you know what I mean? Like, so
of course.
That's always fun. And I feel like I get to hype it up a little bit.
If they had sports science back then, right? All that stuff could have helped some
of
these
Instagram
guys.
Still exists, who would have been the biggest, you know, like, it's a lot of stuff.
Well, you would be a great guy to talk to about what's been a pretty hot topic in the past week or so since Eli Manning retired from the NFL. You played with Eli on the New York Giants. And the question is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? It's weird now to go into our first NFL season in more than 2 decades without a Manning in the league at all. But I look at a guy who's won 2 Super Bowls, MVP of 2 Super Bowls, and beat the New England Patriots, the dynasty, Belichick and Brady twice. It's going to be hard to keep him out. How do you feel about it?
I agree. I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. And during that era, I think he beat Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers along that route, too. But, yeah, he is an elite player, truly, at the quarterback position. He has figured out a recipe. He's special. He is one of the hardest working dudes I've personally ever met. And literally, I know it's a cliche to say first in and last out, but he really was that. I locked beside him. Yeah. Right beside him, just like this. So we got to know each other, you know, on a personal level. I laugh. I say sometimes you get to know somebody too much when you lock her beside him. But great dude. Love him. Wouldn't trade him for the world. And he deserves to wear a gold jacket in the right time.
So I never thought of Eli as a funny dude.
And hilarious. Victor Cruz was telling me yesterday how he was a practical joker, how he would do all kinds of stuff. You got a funny Eli story?
Listen, so me and Eli, I got a prank still going on that we can't even reveal yet. But, like, in due time, it's still happening
now,
right
now. Is it towards other teammates?
It's towards other teammates.
Who are still playing?
Yes. And they have no idea, man. But he's a hilarious guy. I was telling people before, he can go on the show The Office and not act at all. Totally just be himself, and it'll fit the whole entire theme of the show. That's the type of dude he is. Yeah, he's got that dry humor.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, you know.
Well, I mean, we know Peyton's pretty good in the media, right? Peyton's done Peyton the murder and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, he's got the genes for that.
But I'm excited to see what he does now with his newfound openness with life. And I'm laughing because I heard him talk about that beer. You know, they should be giving him a hard time with the whole beer in the back of the bus, so he could drink as much as he want and not be worried about anything now.
Well, Rashad, you're here along with Aliyah Lee Kong, and you guys got a whole bunch of exciting stuff talking about eating healthy and everything. That's something that I strive to do here in Florida, covering the Super Bowl. It's been a long time in between meals, man. I'm popping protein bars and protein shakes. Tell us all about what you guys are doing.
Yeah, well, one, I'm humbled to be with Aliyah. She is a renowned, world-class chef, not just any chef. She won't brag on herself, so I get to a little bit. But working with Real Eats. Real Eats is a company that I came across because I love having a personal chef. I've always had a personal chef through my whole entire NFL tenure, and it helps me so much. I'm big on macronutrients. I'm big on the density. I'm big and huge on the protein, and I care about where my food comes from. And no preservatives. I've ate gluten and dairy free for the last 12 years.
Wow.
And I'm extremely peculiar. But I'm a fat kid at heart.
Wait, when you say peculiar, like how so? Like, I've never had a condiment any kind. No, I don't put I've never tasted ketchup.
Really?
Mayonnaise, mustard, anything. Never tasted it. You're that peculiar? Like, I'm peculiar, strange, man. Peculiar, I have no dressing on my
that's
salad.
That's crazy. So I'm peculiar to the point of knowing what's in it.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like a lot of fluff and nasty stuff. I like everything clean, olive oil, everything to the basis. But never had a condiment.
No,
nothing.
Man. Nah. Uh-uh.
Why? No and ketchup on a little fry?
No, man.
Barbecue
sauce? No. And my wife my wife's a phenomenal chef at home. Not a professional chef, just home in the kitchen.
Right.
So I'm blessed. Sometimes I think she tries to sneak something in there and the seasoning by me. I don't know. She's like, don't go saying you never had mustard because I might have marinated some chicken breast. Does that count? Let me ask the lady. If my wife marinated chicken breast in honey mustard, can I say I've never had mustard?
No.
No?
No, you've had it. You've had it. It was on the outside of a chicken.
She got me. Got me. Well, tell me about Real Eats, Aliyah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me. You know, Real Eats, we're all about making real food accessible to as many people as possible. We just want people to eat healthy. And we do that. We started with meal delivery. So we have totally prepared meals that are shipped to you once a week, that we use a vacuum sealing technique to keep them fresh in your fridge for 7 days. So if you can't get to it that night, you can't get to it the next night, it's still going to be good. And they reheat in 6 minutes in just a pot of boiling water.
Wow.
So we're based in upstate New York. We source from local farms in the area. There's not a processed food. There's not anything processed or anything artificial. I'm the chef. I design all of the meals. I make sure that everything is as healthy as can be. I mean, I feed my family with it. So that's really, you know, that's where we are. And it's a really great thing. It's a great way to, and I don't want to call it like a health hack, but it's just making it a little more convenient, because health right now is just not so convenient. There are too many things you can grab that are processed, even if they're posed as healthy, even if people call it healthy, that are just processed and don't have those wholesome, real ingredients that you need.
So we're all about it. So people can get information about it on
realeats.com.
Realeats.com.
If you head to realeats.com, we have a special promo code with Rashad, Super54. And if you enter Super54, you get a great discount off your first 2 weeks with us.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And Rashad, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, and I just want to add, too, for a guy that loves food, I'm being a real fat kid, I care about taste. And a lot of people think you have to substitute taste for health. This tastes amazing. please go try it. Like, okay. try the brisket first. I don't know. I seriously.
Brisket?
Yes, it's so tender. It's ridiculous.
Did you say fat kid? Well, back in the day.
Back in the day, man, I was overweight, fifth string running back in high school football, saying I want to play in the NFL. I had to change a lot of my lifestyle, and health and fitness was one of them. But I care about my taste. I will not substitute taste for anyone. And eating the way that I eat is convenient. It's right there and at your door. It takes 6 minutes, again, to prepare before it's plated. And it's so convenient, healthy. Try it and go to Real Eats. And it's Real Eats because it's real food. RealEats.com, and it's Super 54. Please try it. And if you don't like it, tweet me about it. I want to hear it because I think you're going to be hooked.
Well, man, I want to get to this because you mentioned being a chubby kid. You had all the obstacles in your life. And what helped you get through it is, I know, is your foundation being in Jesus Christ. So can you talk about that for me?
Absolutely. Everybody, I think, has a different type of relationship with God. And mine comes from experience, not just what I was, you know, told. I question everything. That's probably one of the reasons why I used to get in trouble all the time when I was a kid. But even questioning, not questioning, but asking questions about God, mm-hmm. and trying to figure things out, I've come to know truth. And that's what built the relationship with God, is knowing that I can ask questions. And it's even funny because Jesus asked questions. That's actually how he taught. And, you know, one of the things that really prominated my, you know, stability in the league is truly knowing who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, knowing God can give, God can take.
Right.
And so I never taken anything for granted. I'm always appreciative of every day and every breath that I have. And death is something that actually, in not a morbid way, but death is something I keep on in my mind. And that's what motivates me so much, because that will come one day. And I want to be able to, one, not only meet, you know, my Heavenly Father, but I also want to leave a legacy and leave a life worth mimicking. Because I feel like in society, we're all looking for somebody to follow. Mm. We're always looking for somebody kind of a little bit to copycat. And that's what true good artists do. They borrow from people. And I want to leave a life worth mimicking.
I always caution people, especially on the show, when we look at athletes and entertainers and celebrities, and be careful when you look at other people as role models, because we're all human and we're all going to fail. And if you put them up on a pedestal, you're going to be disappointed. But if Christ is your role model, and you want to be an ambassador for him on earth and want to do your best to live like he lived, to love like he loved, to forgive like he forgave, to care and be compassionate like him, then you can't go wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's something, I get it, you know, as a celebrity, and you look up to people on TV and
no
that
doubt.
You see and you hear their voice. But, yeah, you're right. They are human. They go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And one thing that helps me, I challenge people with this one, is before you go to sleep, put something that's valuable that you need the next day under your bed. The reason why you do that is because every morning before you leave, you're forced to get on your knees to grab whatever was under the bed. And while you're down there, say a prayer.
I like that.
And the way you start off your day that way of recognizing that this is not forever, I think it changes the trajectory of your whole entire day, how you see other human beings.
Well, Rashad Jennings, Aaliyah, thank you both so much for being here and appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
That was Rashad Jennings. We talked about the importance of prayer and how he said just put something valuable under your bed. What's under your bed? It's not about getting on your knees and praying. It's just having that conversation, having that relationship, not looking at it as I need to do this, I have to do this, but being open to it and wanting to and having that desire. Rashad also talked about living a life worth mimicking. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because to me, one of my favorite, it's not an actual word for word verse in the Bible, but as and Kyle, you'll bring it back to a verse, but it's live your life in such a way that those who know you but don't know Christ will come to know Christ because they know you. That's, to me, when you say live a life worth mimicking, that's a life worth mimicking, because if I'm living in a way that people who don't know Jesus
will want to know Jesus because they know me.
Yo, I have a story about that.
That means I've lived a life worth mimicking.
You know, recently, about a couple days ago, my friend.
Oh wow! This is so true.
Jeez, I know her for like probably 15 years now.
Was in your wedding.
We're Rise really me. Great friends, and I pray for my friends all the time, and I have a few that are near and dear to my heart, but they just don't know Christ as, you know, yep. I would love for them to know them, to know Christ. Yeah. So this particular one, she reached out to me a couple of days ago, and she was telling me how through the way I live my life and through the way I just talk about Christ and know him very well, she wants to know Christ.
Come on, love that.
And we had the longest conversation about this, and I was crying because I was like, wow, it's finally happening. I've been praying for you for all these years.
Wow.
And this one is like, she wants to go like through the roof, like let's go. You know what I mean? Like she wants to go. And this has been happening a lot lately. And I just can't, like, it just brought me to my knees because I was like, Jesus, you're doing this. Yep. You're doing this. Yep. It's so good. And it made me so happy because there's one thing to bring people to Christ that you don't know.
Yes.
And then there's another thing that you bring people to Christ that you do know, like when they're your friends.
Yes, because they also know all the ugly stuff as well.
Girls, yep. they know. I mean, yep. we were partying together before. You know what I mean? Like, we were like the party people. And, no shame here. I just put it out there. So we're like, and it's not anything bad. Just, I love to dance, guys. I love to dance. So anyway, so back to the point. This was a good one. My friend was so, I was telling Rob about this and it just brought so much joy to my heart. And I told her this. I'm like, girl, this is amazing because God is actually just, he's working on your life. She's tired. You know, she told me, I am tired and I am just, I'm done. I'm done fighting on my own. And I said, well, he's right there. He just wants to scoop you up, you and your family, and just take you on this journey that you are going to absolutely love. And I told her all about my journey and what happened and how I came to Christ. And she was just like, what? She kept saying, wow. Like, I know. Wow. It's going to be so magical. And she's about to move to Florida. And I'm like, girl, I'm going to hook you up with some good churches down there.
You're just looking for a hookup to stay down there. That's
discipleship. My goodness.
I want to tell you something. Everybody's going to Florida.
Stop it.
This is God's gift.
Remy's trying to be like Jesus. I just want to have some discipleship by the sea. Right? I'm going to discipleship by the sea like Jesus.
We're going to walk on the water, guys.
Church this March, finally. There's one right there by the sea, and every March we look
we
at it.
We stare at it every week.
I'm gonna stop by this week.
I'm gonna have Kyle and Connect Church on my phone, right? Yeah, you know. But just to be ahead.
I'm not jealous or anything.
That's awesome. It's just so good.
And this well done, Remy.
I love
kind
that.
Of a testimony about how you live your life, you know. And I'm not saying I don't live my life in a perfect way or anything, but I really try to do my best.
Next week we're gonna talk about that.
Yeah,
imperfectly perfect. Yeah. Right. That's coming up next week because that's so true. We're not perfect people.
Yeah.
We're imperfect. But if we live our life in such a way that those who know us but don't know Jesus will come to know Jesus because they know us, to me, that's a life worth mimicking. But ultimately, Jesus is the one we want to follow.
Absolutely.
Not
that's right.
Man.
That's right.
That's what I say all the time. Faith on the Field Show presented by Karen University returns after this.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
This is Emma Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show presented by Karen University. Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every show since we started way back in 2017. There's over 100 episodes, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. We are also on Google Play, Stitcher,
Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. We would really appreciate it if you would take a few minutes to subscribe to the Faith on the Field podcast, rate it, and review it. We love hearing from all of our listeners. And personally, I got to tell you, I can't thank you enough for sending so many notes of appreciation for what we do here. It really is very encouraging to read your messages. So thank you. We love to hear from you. We truly appreciate it. Tell your friends, share it out. Thank you so much. If you don't already, you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram and follow us on Facebook. We're at Faith on the Field. You can sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode delivered right there to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our personal social media. I love connecting with everyone. I'm at Rob Maddi, M-A-A-D-D-I, on all my social platforms except Instagram, where it's at Real Rob Maddi. Remy is at Remy Maddi, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll also let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we've got coming up if you want to come out to see us. Always love meeting people at the various events. I am so blessed to do a ton of work that I love in sports media, and I'm incredibly, just so very passionate, as I'm sure you can tell by this show, about sharing my message of finding victory and finding peace, finding fulfillment in Christ, taking Jesus to my marketplace. I'm so grateful that I've had amazing opportunities on many stages over the past couple of years. So many wonderful people have brought me in to be a speaker at their event or to host their event. I've hosted events with Tim Tebow, several with Carson Wentz, with Doug Peterson, Zach Ertz, Jordan Hicks. I've had the opportunity to, the privilege really, to speak to audiences of thousands. And I've had the opportunity to speak to smaller, intimate settings and, of course, continue to minister to inmates in prisons as part of the Deacon's Prison Ministry. My goal at the start of 2020 was to be more available so I can reach even more people. And now that football season, the grind of the football season is over and I'm refreshed, I'm relaxed from coming back and covering the Super Bowl, I am ready to go. So if you'd like to have me speak at your church, your business, your school, your conference, or any other event, or maybe host your function or event, please contact Hannah at 856-315-1397. Or you can send an email, team@robmaddi.com. That's team@robmaddi.com. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome sponsors. We are so grateful for the sponsorship. So many great people. Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Restelli Foods Group, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, Rick Santella, the Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Norristown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. I want to thank all of our listeners and followers. A big thanks to all of our guests. As always, thank you so much for coming on the show. Big thank you to Doug Horton for handling all the business side. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, and blog. Jim Henderson for his work behind the scenes. Thank you to our producer, Ryan, 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Joy FM Sports, for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Maddi, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.